You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Coming up, we've got a special interview with Reb Fountain, who's just finished her New Zealand tour for her new album, How Love Bends. Hi, Reb. How are you?
Kia ora, Cass. Hi, everybody. I'm doing great. Thank you.
Congratulations on the new album and the tour. It's a beautiful album. Just hit over 1 million streams. It's had an incredible reception. What was your favourite place you played on tour?
Oh, there's never a favourite. But Ote Puti in Dunedin was fantastic. Actually, that show was crazy because we'd driven down, Dave and I, he's in my band as well, we'd driven down to Dunedin and we were picking up Cara and our bassist and Earl from the airport, and they arrived but none of their gear arrived.
Oh no.
And so we were like playing that night. Got in touch with friends, musicians in Dunedin who were so amazing, came down, brought us drums, brought us guitar and bass, and we did the whole sound check. And actually at like 8:30, you know, sort of like 20 minutes before we went on to play, our gear turned up at the venue, which was incredible. But it was a really fun night. We had an awesome time.
Oh, cool. I'm glad. Are you doing any international touring next? What are the plans for the future?
We do actually have some shows coming up in Australia. It's not till September. Dave's on tour with Marlon for a bit, and we're doing some recording. And then, yeah, we head to Australia for a festival and a few shows early. I think it's September. Yeah, also doing some shows with Paul Kelly as well when he comes here.
Cool. I feel like for as long as I've known you, you've always been touring. And same with Dave and Earl. You work with these incredible musicians in your band that are always touring as well. How do you find touring around New Zealand?
Well, I love it. You know, like, touring isn't everybody's cup of tea, but for me, it definitely is. Like, I feel really nourished from the experience. It's quite intense. Like, I mean, there's the sort of driving around and the logistics are exhausting in some respects, you know, and you're just driving and then you lug your gear in somewhere and then you set up and you sound check and then you have a little break and then you're playing and then you pack it all down again and do the same thing the next day. And so logistically that's quite tiring, but I think more it's the kind of energy that you hold when you perform on stage is quite specific. And for me and for the band anyway, we're 100% present in that space, and it can be a lot, you know. I feel like I'm going through this sort of an emotional journey every night, and that can be quite taxing, but at the same time it's also really rewarding. And when, for me anyway, performing on stage, there's this beautiful reciprocity that I have with the audience, so I get so much back from them, and then chatting to them afterwards and then telling me their life stories. And it's really beautiful, and you get to see the best of humanity, you know, when you're out connecting with folks on the road. And I feel like it's something that we really need right now. The world is so crazy and fucked up, and the creative arts just help us all feel better and kind of give meaning to what we're doing, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, because you're involved in a couple local initiatives for venues and stuff, hey?
Yeah, well, that sort of kicked off during lockdown, really, which was this idea that, oh, you know, we're going to lose our venues and we need to do something to support them. And it kind of out of that sprung Save Our Venues, which was became this kind of national, organisation, which has supported venues to stay afloat, but also now exists to support venues, you know, in times, just general times. Because, like, venues are just run by folks who love music and love, it's, you don't make a lot of money. it's quite a specific job, quite a weird job, 24/7, like being an artist as well. In fact, I was just working with someone from the Hawke's Bay, and he puts on shows all throughout the Hawke's Bay in different halls. It's called the Small Hall Sessions, and it's such a cool initiative because it takes music to rural communities, which is really cool. And like, I love that sort of stuff, you know. I would love to tour so much more. We've just done I can't remember how many shows it was on this tour, but for me, I just felt like we were just getting started.
You don't ever find that, because you're quite the prolific songwriter, it never drains you of your energy to create, just constantly touring and backing these initiatives. How do you find time to balance that?
It's a different kind of energy for sure. And I definitely have huge dry spells, or where I just feel like there's, I don't have anything to say, or I feel like I have something to say, but I don't know how to express it. And there's often times as well where I am just bursting to write, but there's not the right time or space for it. And so I'm having to kind of like hold it in or restrict myself. And so I guess I do have to really balance it in my life, because it's one of those things where I need to do it for myself. You know, it helps me be a full and rich human being. It helps me make sense of the world. It's really good for my mental health as well. So like, I'll write a bunch of stuff that never sees the light of day, and that doesn't matter, because music making is essentially for me, you know, at the heart of it. But it's also to try and get across some kind of message, hopefully more universal, hopefully something that connects with others as well. And yeah, I've got to make space for that. But it's not the same as public speaking. It's not the same as performing. It's not the same as, you know, doing the artwork for an album or doing publicity for a record or something. They're really different. So my job is quite varied. It's such a weird job. And sometimes, like, I don't really like admin very much. And I spend a lot of time doing admin in my job. And I find I have to really counterbalance that with actually playing music, actually writing music, in order to keep myself sane.
Well, when we're talking about songwriting, one of my favourite songs on How Love Bends is He Commands You to Jump, because it's just incredible songwriting. It's very poetic. Do your songs often start off as poems, or do you do music and then words?
I do all of it. I think when I first started writing music, it was that I had this really kind of dark, melancholic poetry that I put to a couple of chords that I knew on the guitar. And I feel like in some ways I still do that. But like He Commands You to Jump into the Sea was two chords on the piano and just me. I don't know, I was in quite a surreal place at that time. And me just writing a lot of lyrics, getting a sense of what I might want to do, because it's more of a spoken word sort of piece. And then just, yeah, scrawling and editing. And sometimes it comes like that. Other times there'll be a really strong melody that comes, or a concept. So I try and be as open as possible to different avenues and different doorways into writing music, because it's never the same. You know, I've had some songs that have come out all in one go. You know, the chords, the melody, the lyrics come out and they're just there. And you're like, what the hell just happened, you know? And then other ones that are sort of painstaking and can take months to write. I've found that I need to be okay with what is, you know, however it turns up. And of course, then once you write a song, there's like this whole process afterwards that's developing and arranging, orchestrating. So that adds a whole nother kind of layer of landscape onto a tune, which can really make it. And certainly He Commands You to Jump into the Sea was one of those where I believe it was during lockdowns, because Dave sent me three different versions of landscapes for that song. They were all just so completely different. And in the end, we kind of... my producer, and in the end we just kind of blended them all together and took aspects of different parts and made the song, and then recorded it live with the band. It's one of my favourite songs too.
When you talk about the admin and that sort of hard part of making music, I think the level of success that you've achieved is incredible and so well deserved. But I think a lot of emerging Aotearoa musicians might see that as sort of out of reach, a bit of an unrealistic goal, because it's so hard to make something of yourself in such a small music scene. What is kind of the advice that you have to give, if you have any?
Well, I think go small, right? So I get this sometimes where folks say to me, you know, you're so successful. And I'm like, what does that actually mean? You know, I barely make a living. I all my energy goes into music in some way, shape or form, but I have to hustle on the side in a lot of ways. You know, I do voice work, I do other kind of jobs that are related to music as much as I can, because it's really hard to make a living in the creative arts. And so even if you think someone's successful, you can't necessarily attach monetary value to that. That's one thing. And that also, success is kind of the experience for me, the experience of making music, of enjoying the relationships that I have with the band, and doing things that are sustainable and kind of achievable. You know, so like, if you're imagining that you want to be a superstar, you want to be able to buy a house for your mom, or you're like, you know, you want to dream of traveling the world. I mean, those are all wonderful things, but the reality is that it's mostly unlikely that that's what's going to happen. It's very unlikely that any of us will become the next Lord, or even the next 660, you know, or the next Marlon Williams, for example, you know, and all have these different levels of whatever success is. But a lot of those things can be accidental, or you just kind of fall into them. And they can be attributed to hard work as well. So you can work really hard, but you can't attach this idea of success to the hard work that you do. So we just like, the whole premise for us is to go small, make stuff sustainable, be transparent about what you do with your band members or your team members, so you can talk about like, shoot, we're not getting very much money for this. What could we do that makes this sustainable? Or, hey, we really want to make a record. How can we make it and afford to, you know? And playing as much music as you possibly can. So it's kind of the opposite of going global, it's my advice. It's just go small. And you can actually, you can survive. Like, you can't have a great income, but you can survive and have a really good life by keeping it small.
And when you talk about a sustainable journey through music, you obviously started off your music career as a backup singer, and now you are Rib Fountain, you're the front man. What inspired you to make that change to the front of the stage, and what was that journey like?
Well, like, I always had quite a strong rock and roll dream from when I was young. I mean, I played music because I grew up with my whānau playing music, and then I loved expressing myself through music. So there was this real kind of what felt like an innate drive to create and perform, but I was always very scared of it, and I was quite insecure, and I had a lot of self-doubt, and I drank a lot. And so, I mean, I certainly tried, but I was pretty scared. I think it was when I came back to music that I found quite a lot of safety and comfort in not being at the front of the stage, that I could sort of hide, and I guess over time build my confidence, really. So I also learned a lot from singing with other people, from playing with other people, you know, how to support other people, how not necessarily be the star of the show, and that's given me a lot of insight as a, you know, front person as well. Like, how do I want to treat other people that are around me? How would I like to be treated, and that kind of stuff. So, I mean, maybe it's been a natural progression, because all along I really had a lot to say, and I think I wanted to fight those fears in myself, and that's just what's been the natural outcome of that. Whereas, like, I just need to go up there and be whoever I want to be on stage now, and at the moment that's Rib Fountain doing her thing.
You do have a lot to say, and How Love Bends, you're obviously talking about love in all its facets. There's plenty of inspiration available when you're wanting to write a song about love. Who and what were you listening to while you wrote and produced this album?
Oh, that's really interesting. So first of all, the album, I mean, it says How Love Bends, but it's really about all of the facets of that, like in terms of, you know, love can be imbued with a lot of fear and insecurity and doubt and suffering as well. And it can be filled with a lot of joy. It's like everything that we do, the connections that we have, the way that we relate to the world. So I guess really it's about the human condition. And within that respect, I was really in my own head a lot for this record, because I'd had a head injury which kind of made me feel very insular. So I went back to, I guess, a lot of older music, a lot of folk music that I'd listened to, but I was also listening to a lot of hip hop as well. And I, you know, I was sort of obsessed with Lana Del Rey for a long time as too. So I kind of had this mix of things that were going on. But I think the strongest thing that came out of it was that that it was like I was having conversations in my head because of this head injury that were a little bit trippy, a little bit like I was a surrealist painting or something. And I wanted to find a way of expressing that. And it was really the conversations between me and Dave Kahn that kind of helped pull that together. And then bringing that to the band, who now we've sort of been playing together for like 5 years. So there was just this kind of whole landscape of musical influences that brought the concept to life, I suppose, where we could have a lot of different influences in one space.
It's cool. You and Dave collaborate so well together, and you guys have been together for the whole 5 years that you talk about. You guys have been the kind of the people who have stayed in that band the whole time, hey?
Yeah, well, we knew each other a long time ago, and we played some various music together, but it was really around my self-titled album, Red Fountain, that I asked him if he would produce it, and he co-produced it with another friend, Simon Gooding, who's an engineer and producer who lives in New York now. And it's kind of been this team effort, and we've grown together in that, what that's like. You know, at first we were kind of like fumbling along, and we're definitely still making it up as we go, but it's a bit more streamlined. So for this record, we kind of had put together a bunch of demos, like a shitload of songs, essentially. And then we got to a point where we were like, okay, which ones are we going to focus on, and which ones are we going to get rid of? And it was really interesting, because the choice that we made was to go with these songs that felt quite unapologetic and really sort of strong. There were some other really pretty songs on there too that didn't make it, but this kind of strength of voice came through, and that's what ended up being the record.
It's amazing. Cool. Great answer. Well, it's New Zealand Music Month, as I'm sure you know, and I was just wondering who are some of your favourite local artists that you've been listening to lately, and if you had any New Zealand songs that you'd like to play after this interview finishes?
Yeah, I've got a few different things that have come up for me lately. I've really been enjoying Neve Strang. She's just released her record, Find Me in the Rabbit Hole, and it's just really fresh. It actually reminds me a little bit of like Cowboy Junkies, and beautiful voice, love the production. There's a song, Gather Round, on that. I think it was her first single, which is beautiful. Also, I don't know if you we were talking about it before, Cass, off air, but for folks who had caught the Veils at Eric's recently, Asphodel's is such a great album. There's so many beautiful songs on that record. Absolutely check out the Veils if you haven't heard them before. Finn Andrews is their lead singer and songwriter, and he's just an extraordinary human being and performer. I'm going to say two more. Voom, the band Voom. We actually toured with Voom last year, and Vera Allen, and we came and performed at Eric's. And Voom are an amazing sort of cult Flying Nun band, and they have got a new album coming out soon, which is called Something Good Is Happening. In fact, it should be really soon, maybe this week. But there's a song on there, Trouble, which is just fantastic single, and they're touring around, so coming up in the next couple of months, so definitely check them out. They're such a fun band live. They're just super cool guys, and then the last one, another person who's touring is Marlon Williams, and he's just releases, of course, his new Te Reo album, Te Whare Te Weka Weka, and there's so many songs off that record, but my favourite at the moment is Ke Te Marama. So definitely check out Marlon when he comes to town. I'm pretty sure he's playing at the Town Hall.
Oh, cool. I definitely will, and I hope everyone that's listening does as well. Okay, Rebel, that's probably going to be time for us, but thank you so much for speaking with me. You gave such incredible answers, and that was so lovely.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Love you guys down there, and I really appreciate all your support. Go well into winter.
Thank you. Okay, cool. So that was Reb Fountain there talking about her new album, How Love Bends. Be sure to get that on any streaming platform that you listen to. And coming up...
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcasts.